This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Healthy Aging, providing you with the unique energy support of Pure NT Factor. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years with a 45-day money-back guarantee of nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158. Or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. The subject is sugar, its hidden dangers, and how to sugar-proof your child, because that's the title of a book written by today's guest, Dr. Michael Goran. Sugar-proof, the hidden dangers of sugar that are putting your child's health at risk, and what you can do. And in part two, we're going to focus on some practical suggestions, what you can do. Dr. Goran, you co-wrote the book with Dr. Emily Ventura, who I believe you worked with as a academic colleague. And I think it's a nice collaboration because, you know, you've done a lot of the basic research. She seems to be an expert on behavior modification and exhorting people to make positive changes. And her imprint is there in the book, especially in part two, where we talk about sugar-proofing strategies.
Yeah, so actually Emily was a graduate student in my lab. Actually, at first she worked for me as a research assistant, and she very quickly realized that this was what she'd love to do, so she did her PhD with me in health behavior and then stayed on to work for me for several years after that. And then that was more than 10 or 15 years ago. We've just stayed in touch ever since then because she's a great writer as well, and the writing process was very iterative and was very helpful in kind of in translating some of this research. But yeah, she also developed the recipes in 39. We have 39 recipes in there, and we worked together on the meal plans and so forth. But we wanted to, you know, it's easy to say, and many people say, oh, you just have to cut sugar. Don't drink soda. Cut the juice. And, you know, that sounds very simple, but this is about more than just information. You know, knowledge is not enough to make lasting behavioral change. So we wanted to come up with strategies that were founded in behavioral theory and were easy to implement. And we've worked on that in our research over the years and learned a lot of stuff and wanted to translate it for everyday audience.
So you come up with seven sugar-proof strategies. Can you introduce us to them? Because, you know, being a parent is tough. You can control things at home sometimes if you're aware. But how do you limit sugar consumption outside the home? School, socialization, birthday parties, etc. You know, without alienating the family, you know, well-meaning relatives and grandparents. You know, sometimes get in the way of full implementation of your very correct program. And, you know, by the same token, you also don't want to produce an eating disorder in a child. You don't want to make the child feel like, you know, there's like landmines out there and that food is something to be fearful about.
Yeah. And it would, you know, balancing those was always forefront in our minds as we developed the program and developed the book. And because we didn't want to be over-restrictive. And just to reiterate, to remind your listeners, we're not calling for a complete, you know, elimination of sugar. We know that it's just not going to work. And it's all about recognizing the sources of added sugar, making adjustments, and ultimately helping kids be able to self-regulate on sugar so they know they can feel when it's too much and can learn to make their own adjustments.
But that's a key word, you know, self-regulation, because, you know, the expression, you know, give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day, teach a man to fish, and he'll fish for a lifetime. I mean, we actually want to raise kids not just conscious of prohibitions in the home, but with sort of a, you know, kind of a balanced approach to food in general.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, it's kind of a balance between the two. We know that the home environment is so important. Studies show that kind of a light touch on rules on food at home can be beneficial outside of the home. And that doesn't mean to be like an overly restrictive rule. That could just be something as simple as candies only at weekends, or no soda during the week. Something that works. And usually these things are short-lived, and very quickly people grab onto them and it just becomes the new norm in the house. But the combination of those two are quite important. And also another key aspect that we found from our research and translated into the book is internal motivation. Mm-hmm. So, and talking to kids in a way that you can discover what those internal motivations are and what would drive them to want to make a change, what motivates them. And oftentimes what motivates your kids will be very different from what you as a parent might be motivated by. And you have to kind of listen to kids and talk to them in a way that you can get to the bottom of that. And that could be running faster on the soccer field, or fitting into a new pair of jeans, or having better skin. Mm-hmm. And once you find that internal motivation, it becomes quite powerful. You don't want to use external motivation for these types of changes, like rewarding with money, for example, because then you're just stuck to pay your kid every time, right. Forever. That's not going to be sustainable. So it's all about finding sustainable solutions and internal motivations towards making change.
And a part of it is to expose kids to a wide variety of foods early on, but not in a draconian fashion. You know, that's saying like, you ought to eat that asparagus or else you're not leaving the table. I mean, that kind of backfires. But it's just encourage them to be experimental with food, with textures, to help to have them spend time in the kitchen with food preparation. Even if you have the good fortune to have a garden, to have them work in the garden so that the child has some incentive to be involved in the food growing and preparation and consumption process, and have a better connection to food ingredients. I think, you know, that's something that we try to emphasize for the young kids in my family, age 2 and 5. They spend a lot of time in the kitchen. They're fascinated by the process. They, you know, they taste this and that. You know, sometimes they don't like it. You know, they spit it out. They say it's too whatever, bitter, or you know, too strong a taste. But they familiarize themselves with a wide variety of flavors and textures early on, rather than getting hooked on, you know, on sweets and artificial flavors early.
Yeah, that's critical. I think that's an important part of that. I mean, that was a big part of what Emily does too. She trained in the with Alice Water, and she was the first intern at the Edible Schoolyard.
Wow.
That was where she worked. And this concept could be as simple as, you know, if you don't have a garden, it could be as simple as just a herb flower pot in your kitchen or on your windowsill or something. So it doesn't have to be fancy. Any kind of involvement in the kitchen is going to be critical.
So what about from a societal standpoint? You know, Mexico recently enacted, at least one province of Mexico, I don't know if this is all Mexico-wide, enacted a ban on soft drinks. There's a terrible obesity problem there. And as you mentioned, you know, perhaps there's something about Hispanic genetics that predisposes more to diabetes and obesity, insulin resistance. But they took dramatic action. There's actually a ban on selling soft drinks to children under a certain age. Some studies say soda taxes could work, but research suggests that they don't work in many cases, and also they're regressive. They penalize the very segments of the population that are least able to pay the freight of the extra taxes, because affluent parents don't feed their kids lots of soda. Where do you think it should go?
Very difficult issue. We find the final chapter of Sugar Proof. We talk about all those points. Sugar taxes have worked to a certain extent in terms of reducing consumption, but the question is how much of a tax, and then the food industry is spending millions and millions of dollars to oppose them. I like the idea of better warning labels on foods. Chile, for example, has a system that's been quite effective in food labels to identify different levels of health risk. Food marketing is a big problem. Some countries are able to start addressing that, like the UK and Chile, by limiting marketing of foods to children. And that's a big problem.
Like identifying cartoon characters with certain foods and things like that, which is really like crack for kids' brains. That's really going to get them to
basically go for it. It's the same tactics. It's even the same PR firms that developed all of the ads for tobacco.
You
can make the connections on that. We talk about it in the book. It's the same strategies, even the same PR firms that are developing animated characters on kids' foods and kids' snacks and so on to hook them in early. So
it's kind of like Joe Camel Tony the Tiger, for Frosted Flakes, right?
Or Capri Sun flavored drinks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but we gotta be realistic. Are we ever going to get that happening in this country? I'm not super confident that we're going to see big gains in that. I wish it wasn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we think that we need families can make an impact because they're buying the products.
Mm-hmm.
So that can make an impact, and I think that can
voting with their consumer dollars,
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, folks, at this point, let's pause and allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this vital message with you. This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Biomega Fish Oil from Biotics Research. For over 40 years, Biotics Research has been providing the highest quality supplements, surpassing industry standards. Biomega Fish Oil contains therapeutic doses of vital omega-3s in the triglyceride form, which is highly bioavailable. Biotics Research ensures maximum purity and freshness by managing their fish oils from catch to capsule, verified by rigorous independent testing. For more information, go to drhoffman.com/biotics research. That's drhoffman.com/biotics research for Biomega Fish Oil. Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you with great shows like this one with Dr. Michael Gorin. It took a while for them to establish conclusively that there was a link between cigarette smoking and heart disease and then cancer. And they pushed back and they pushed back. And finally, it was incontrovertible. And then began the lawsuits because, you probably saw the movie The Insider with Russell Crowe. Probably at times feel a little like Russell Crowe because the kind of stuff you're saying flies in the face of a multi-billion-dollar industry, and need to hire a bodyguard. But the prospect of tobacco-style litigation, because now the science is incontrovertible that excess mm-hmm. sugar and soft drinks in the diet contribute to disease. I think the links are not just circumstantial. They're direct and incontrovertible. And, is that possibly a way to push back against the onslaught of these poor quality foods?
Well, I hope so. I hope that's the outcome of some of the research that we've done and many other people have done. There was a movement in California for a warning label on sodas, for example,
mm-hmm.
that it was a very simple consumer warning label linking soda consumption to tooth decay, obesity, diabetes, and heart disease. And I think those can have a big impact. Of course, it didn't fly even in California.
Mm-hmm. Even in progressive California, you know, with all kinds of regulations, you know.
Yeah. Hmm. So it's very hard even to convince progressive legislatures to adopt those types of strategies.
In the book, you talk about how the labeling, although it's gotten a little better with regard to sugar content in foods, that it still can be misleading. And so you advocate more transparency in labeling. What would that look like?
Well, certainly the new food labels just adopted this year and being transitioned through next year as well. They do differentiate added sugars, which helps a lot. So consumers are able to differentiate the natural sugars, let's say in a yogurt. There's sugar in a yogurt that comes from the dairy, from the lactose. Mm-hmm. But now the food labels have to differentiate how much sugar is actually added to
added
it.
Added sugar, yeah.
Added sugar. So that's one strategy. But, you know, we talked about how some sweeteners can be advertised as healthy, all natural, like mm-hmm. the fruit-based sugars can still come under that rubric of all natural, all healthy products. And we haven't talked about the alternative sweeteners yet, but yep. this falls under this category as well, because the natural sweeteners that are not caloric, like stevia and monk fruit, for example, which we can talk about because they introduce a whole set of different problems, but mm-hmm. they can be advertised as all natural.
And zero calorie.
And zero calories.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, okay, yeah, let's get into that, because I think you're one of the few researchers who has done a deep dive on what are called LCSs, low-calorie sweeteners, and have come up with some potential downsides.
Yeah, so low-calorie sweeteners or non-nutritive sweeteners, basically ways to introduce sweetness without the calories, which the food industry is being trying to do for a long time, because reducing calories would be helpful, and they wanted to make food still palatable and sweet. Sucralose, ASK, aspartame are the more common ones. But now we have a whole proliferation of other ones, some of which are natural, like stevia and monk fruit. But the research shows that those compounds, which we've just kind of accepted as normal, but some of them are very synthetic compounds that powerfully activate sweet taste receptors. Could be mm-hmm. thousands or even tens of thousands times sweeter.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, now they have sweeteners that are so sweet that you only need such a small amount, so small that it doesn't even have to be included on the food label now. So that's how intensely sweet they are. But research is now showing that these compounds can activate sweet taste receptors that are located not just in the mouth, but throughout the body, mm-hmm. and essentially trick the body, because mm-hmm. the activation of those receptors also says calories are coming.
Mm-hmm.
So the body thinks that calories are arriving,
mm-hmm.
but they never do.
It's just a tease. Yeah.
It's like a tease on the one hand, that then the body will extract the glucose from the blood because it thinks there's an excess of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then blood glucose falls and you get hungry and you eat more. And studies even in children actually show that children who habitually consume low-calorie sweetened beverages actually consume more calories throughout the day.
Wow.
And then the other aspect is that it's really all about sweetness as well. That we have to get sweetness. We have to dial back the sweetness of the diet. Things don't need to be that sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lots of ways to enjoy sweet treats without a low calorie sweetener or without an added sugar.
You know, people listening to this might say, well, you know, I'm thinking of my child or my grandchild, you know, they're 6 or 7 or 8, and they're already like totally binging out on sweets, and I'd like to turn that around.
Yep.
But is it Is it possible that there's a point of no return where the brain is so hardwired to crave sweets that it's impossible to push back against the addiction, or can you achieve redemption around sweet craving? Can you dial it back, as the term used?
Yeah, it can be dialed back. Now, it can become harder and harder the more addicted you might be to sugar, the harder it is to dial it back, because the harder it is to give it up. But no matter where you are on that sugar spectrum, you can always dial it back to some degree. And it can be harder to do if you're more wired into that, to the addiction element of it. But one of the key aspects of Sugar Proof that we use is a 7-day no added sugar challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, this is not to say it's no sugar forever. It's just to see, mm-hmm. If you go without it for 7 days, there'll be lots of benefits. Number one, you will, with your kids, learn to recognize things that you might not have realized.
Mm-hmm. So it's a teachable moment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll get rid of those. We'll find a new peanut butter or a new salad dressing that doesn't have added sugar, or a new energy bar or yogurt, whatever. And then you'll identify the usual culprits, whether that's juice every morning or a high sugar cereal or cookies every night before bed, or see what happens if you take those out. And the first day or two, this might be tricky.
It's going to create some irritability and,
yes.
Withdrawal.
And yes, absolutely. And there's ways to deal with that. We talk about it in the book, and it may be difficult, but in almost all cases that we have worked with, kids and adults will kind of emerge from the other end of that after a day or two and have a whole different perspective, and taste buds will be refreshed, mm-hmm. and kind of awakened almost.
Is it possible for your brain and your taste buds to do a reset? Because I do notice that at various times, look, all of us, various times we go a little too far off the ranch on sugar consumption. And at various times where I've cut back, I've noticed that within a few days, I'm suddenly reawakened to the tastes of things that normally I don't consider sweet, like red peppers. Don't necessarily consider them, dessert quality. But if you haven't had a lot of sugar, they taste relatively sweet. And then I actually find, if I do introduce something sweet, it's cloyingly sweet. There's actually, I have a taste aversion to things that are overly sweetened.
Yep.
My taste buds and my brain circuits get resensitized to it.
I think, I believe they can, and we've seen that happen. And it can happen at any age, and that's the main goal of the 7-day reset, is to reawaken, reset those taste buds. We've certainly seen in our family, we'll do it periodically. Let's say after the holidays, because everybody will, it's not uncommon. If you do this, you'll kind of gradually go back, and that's fine. You just have to redo the 7 days. I'm the extreme. I'm like you, except even maybe more extreme. I'm very sensitive to sweetness now, and can't, believe that my kids will be drinking or eating something that is super sweet, because I have an aversion to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all like a spectrum. Wherever you are on that spectrum, if you're highly sensitive to sweet tastes, or you are over, or you have a very high preference for sweet tastes, wherever you are, you can dial it back by cutting sugar out for a period of days and then resetting that taste preference.
Indeed. All right. Well, it's a wonderful book, because in part one, you lay out all the hidden dangers of sugar that are putting your child's health at risk. And you don't just leave us high and dry. In part two, you and your co-writer, Emily Ventura, suggest practical tips on what you can do. And, I recommend the book very highly to parents and grandparents. You got to get this book, because it's really crucial for the health of your child and your families. And, you know, we really have to turn this pandemic around because, you know, we talk about the pandemic of COVID-19, the devastation caused by this pandemic, the pandemic of excess sugar consumption, is vastly beyond the toll of COVID-19, as bad as it is. So thank you very much for your contribution, Dr. Michael Gorin. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Ron, for having us on the show and helping talk about sugar and sugar-proof and helping families raise sugar-proof kids who can self-regulate.
Indeed. And there's a website, right, where yes. we can get more information about the book?
Sugarproofkids.com, or on social media, on Instagram and Facebook, we're at sugarproofkids. And you can get the book on all the usual virtual bookstores that exist these days.
And lots of free resources on the website as well.
Yeah, we have some of the recipes on our website, and more will be coming. We're working on Halloween right now. That's going to be interesting this year.
Oh, no problem. Halloween's canceled this year, haven't you heard?
Yeah, so we're working on, you know, strategies to enjoy Halloween under COVID-19.
Okay, it should be easier this year because the trick-or-treat bags will be less overflowing, I think, during lockdown. But still, people will be going to the store buying that candy that, you know, we just hate to throw away, so that, you know, usually by January, we kind of get through our stash of Halloween candy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unfortunately. All right. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Yeah, that was lovely. Thank you so much.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. As an Intelligent Medicine listener, you know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. But vetting your sources and tracking down the exact products you need can be a hassle. That's why I'm inviting you to browse my online supplement dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. We stock only the highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere. The very same supplements I prescribe to my patients and take myself. My specially curated professional-grade supplements are fulfilled via the FullScript network. FullScript is the safest and most convenient way to purchase my medical-grade supplements. Buying through FullScript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant, and offers world-class support. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com to sign up for your free FullScript account. That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com.